Chapter 3. Pirates. When the ship was ready, Captain Smollett ordered the crew to pull up the anchor. As the big white sails filled with wind, the Hispaniola set off for Treasure Island. It was a long journey. At the beginning, the sailors worked well. They all liked Long John Silver. He gave them plenty of food and he kept a barrel of apples on the deck for them. He was kind to me, too. He always seemed pleased to see me whenever I went into the galley. He kept it very clean and tidy. A large green parrot sat in a cage in the galley.
"The parrot's name is Captain Flint," Silver told me. "I named him after the famous pirate. He wishes us luck, don't you, Captain Flint?"
"Oh, pieces of eight, pieces of eight," cried the parrot.
I knew that pieces of eight were gold coins.
"He's 200 years old, and he's been all around the world," said Silver.
He pushed a piece of sugar through the bars of the cage. Captain Smollett remained as unfriendly as the first day we met him. He spoke only when he was spoken to. He did not like Squire Trelawney, so he tried not to speak to him at all. But he was pleased with his ship and his hard-working crew. One day, Captain Smollett called out,
"We're nearly there, lads! We should reach Treasure Island tonight!"
This put everyone in a good mood, and all the men worked harder. They sang as they worked, and the ship sailed through the water at a great pace. That night, I was on my way to my bed when I felt quite hungry. I wanted something to eat. "I'll go up on deck and take an apple from the barrel," I said to myself. It was quite dark on deck. The only sounds I heard were the swish of the sea and the whistling of the man who was the ship's lookout. He was in the crow's nest looking for the island. I looked inside the barrel. It was almost empty and I had to climb in to reach an apple. I was very tired after my day's work and I fell asleep inside the barrel. I woke when I heard a man's voice. It was Long John Silver. When I had heard him speak a few words, I knew that I had to stay in the barrel and listen. This is what I heard.
"Flint was our captain. His ship was called the Walrus. I lost my leg on that journey and Pew lost his eyes. But all the other pirates were afraid of me, and so was Flint," explained Silver.
"But where are all those pirates now? Pew is a prisoner, but what about the others?" asked a younger man.
"Perhaps some of them are on this ship," laughed Silver. He continued, "A pirate's life is a hard life, but you can make a lot of money. If you keep your money safe, you can live like a king. My wife looks after my money. That's how I keep it safe."
"I'll help you get the treasure," said the younger man.
I sat quite still in the barrel. So Long John Silver was a pirate, and he wanted to steal the treasure. And this young man wanted to help him. But what about the others? Then a third voice joined in.
"Nearly all the men are on your side, Silver. But how long must we pretend to be honest sailors? When can we become pirates?" the voice asked.
"Not yet," replied Silver. "We need Captain Smollett to sail the ship. I haven't seen the map, so I don't know where to find the treasure. I have a plan, though. We will wait until Livesey and Trelawney dig it up and load it on the ship. Then we will strike."
"What will we do with Dr. Livesey and the others?" asked the younger man.
"We'll kill them, of course," answered Silver. "Now get me an apple, lad. I'm feeling hungry."
I froze. They would find me now. What could I do? Run? But where to?
But then the third man said,
"We can do better than apples, Silver. Let's go down to your galley and see what we can find."
Before Silver could reply, the lookout cried out,
"Land ahoy!"
he shouted.
We had reached Treasure Island. Everyone came running up from the cabins and onto the deck. I jumped out of the barrel and followed the pirates to the bow of the ship. We all looked towards the island. I could see three hills, one with its peak hidden by mist.
Captain Smollett ordered the crew to take down the biggest sail. Then he said,
"Has anyone been on this island before?"
"I have, sir," said Silver. I once stopped here for water.
I think we can anchor to the south of the island. Is that right, Silver?
Asked the captain.
Look at this map. Here's the place.
I watched Silver as he took the map and looked at it in the moonlight. But it wasn't the map I had found in Billy Bones' chest. Someone had copied it, and of course, they had left out the red star. Silver said,
That's right, sir.
He turned to me, and for a moment I was terrified. But of course, he didn't know I'd been hiding in the apple barrel when he'd been talking to the pirates. He didn't know I had heard everything and knew of his plans.
It's a fine island for a boy, said Silver.
He put his hand on my shoulder.
You can swim and climb trees and run about. Tell me when you want to explore, and I'll make you a picnic.
Then he went down to the galley. Silver was gone. Now I had a chance to tell Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney what I had heard, but they were talking to the captain and I didn't want to interrupt. Then Dr. Livesey came over to me and asked me to fetch his pipe from his cabin. This was my chance. I took it. Dr. Livesey, I have some terrible news. Take the squire and the captain down to your cabin. Send for me so I can tell you all in private, I said. Dr. Livesey frowned, but he did as I asked. Inside the doctor's cabin, I found the doctor, the squire, and the captain sitting around a table. As I walked through the door, they looked up at me with concern.
Now, Jim, said the squire, you have something to tell us. What is it?
I told them everything I had heard in the apple barrel. They listened carefully and no one interrupted me. When I had finished, Dr. Livesey said,
Thank you, Jim. It was a good thing you found out. And you have been very brave to tell us. I am sure you were very afraid.
Squire Trelawney turned to Captain Smollett.
I'm sorry, Captain. You were right about the crew, and I was wrong, he said. They are a band of cruel pirates. Those pirates kept their deadly secret very well. It was easy to be fooled by them, answered the captain. Now, I'll tell you what we should do. Number one, we can't turn back. If we do, they will attack us at once, so we must keep going. Number two, if we keep going, they won't attack us until we have found the treasure. They don't know where it is, so they need to wait until we have found it. Number three, some of the men are still on our side. We must keep them on our side. Then we should attack when the pirates don't expect it. We must take them by surprise.
I agree, Captain, said Dr. Livesey. And in the meantime, Jim can help us to keep control. The men trust him, and he notices everything.
We counted up the men who were on our side. There were seven men, including me, but I was only a boy. There were many more pirates against us. It would not be a fair fight when it came. I left the doctor's cabin and went on deck. I saw that the Hispaniola was a little less than 1 kilometre southeast of the island. It was a sunny day, without a cloud in the sky. From the deck, I could see pine forests on the island. Waves roared and crashed on the sandy beaches that lined the island. It was more magical than I had imagined. Although I had dreamed of visiting the island night after night, I no longer looked forward to exploring it. I knew that soon we would have to fight the pirates. I was afraid. And they outnumbered us. Would we win the fight? I was not sure. There was no wind, so the ship could not move any closer to the island. We dropped anchor and got the rowing boats ready. It was at this time that the crew became lazy and rude, but Long John Silver did not. Instead, he obeyed all his orders. He smiled and sang as he worked.
He wants to keep everybody happy until it's time to fight, whispered Captain Smollett. I think we'll let some of the men go ashore to cheer them up.
The captain decided to keep 6 of the crew aboard the Hispaniola and let the others go ashore. Captain Smollett asked Long John Silver to organize the men. They cheered when they heard the news. Seagulls fluttered in the sky and squawked at the noise. I jumped into one of the rowing boats unseen and hid under a sail. The two boats raced for the shore. My boat arrived at the beach first. I leaped out of the boat onto the shore without being seen by the other sailors. I ran and ran until I could run no further. Soon I was in a thick forest where I found strange and beautiful plants. I even saw some snakes. Suddenly, a flock of wild ducks flew up from a little river. They screamed and circled in the air. Some of the men must have been nearby. I hid among the trees. I heard voices, but I was too far away to hear what they were saying. Slowly, I crawled closer. I peered through the leaves and saw Silver talking to one of the sailors.
"If you are not on my side, Tom, I will have to kill you," I heard him say. "I want that treasure, and I will do anything to get it."
"I am an honest sailor," replied the man. "Captain Smollett is my captain, not you."
The man turned and walked back towards the beach. With a fierce cry, Long John Silver leaped on the man and killed him with his knife. Everything seemed to spin round and round. I almost fainted. Then Silver pulled out a whistle and blew it several times. He was calling his men. I crept back the way I had come and ran for my life.